Countryside Anywhere podcast. For more information about Countryside Church, including gathering times and location, check out teamcountryside.com. Today's message comes from Pastor James Williams.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Awesome. We've been hearing a lot about these radical sayings of Jesus in a very interesting way. I don't know if you've been able to catch up, but we're talking about these in a rad way, 80s way. Like, just going back to the 80s with this series, rad. So hopefully you did catch up with Pastor Mark's messages, first two messages, where he talks about how Jesus said, love your enemies. That's a good one. And do not be anxious about your life. Yeah, so he started it off with some, I don't know if you'd say easy, but, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'm here, and I've heard several around me in my circle of friends, outside of my circle of friends, just seeing everybody at the Tuesday night worship, community worship night, just talking to them about this series and how rad it's been for them, and how they've just been touched by this this message series so far. So I hope I can keep it going, because the pressure's on to keep this radness going, I guess. For those of you joining online, we're happy that you're here as well. Countryside Anywhere is in full effect, and we're excited to keep that going. This week, we're going to dive into some pretty rad waters, okay? I'm doing this on purpose, because I pulled out all my dad joke stuff. It's regarding this specific radical saying of Jesus. And because we hear Jesus say this, it's easy to pass by it and say, oh, that's cool. And then, you know, it seems pretty simple. But it's so radical when we really sink into it. It's this moment that we're going to talk about where discipleship begins. It's in this moment that it should challenge each of us if we've chosen to follow Jesus. And maybe you haven't. Maybe this is something you're just checking out. But we hope that you come back again also and keep hearing more about Jesus and surround yourself with somebody who can talk to you about him. But it's in this moment, if you've chosen to follow Jesus, if you've made that commitment as a part of your life, this should challenge us. This should almost confront us in a positive way. And so we're in Matthew today, and the situation is this. Jesus has returned from being in the wilderness. He's beginning his ministry. And this event happens next. And so we're in chapter 4, verse 18, and that's where we'll be. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were, what does it say? What are they? Fishermen. Well, of course, fishermen. They were fishermen. So, fishing was a livelihood for them, for these brothers. They likely learned from their pa, right? And they were born into this. They were born into fishing and raised to fish, and now they were fishermen. And that was their calling. Now, I know some people in here are like, that's my calling too, James. Fishing. All right, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that being different here. Peter and Andrew were just a couple of guys fishing on their work day, and then another guy walks up, and he says, hey, looks like you fish. And they're probably looking at each other like, hello, McFly. Hello. Think, McFly. I wouldn't say that to Jesus, but I don't know if they would. I'm just saying. As this event is told, though, in another gospel, Luke, we hear that Jesus convinces them to go back out after a dismal day fishing. And he says, go back out, fish again. And they think this guy is just silly for even asking them to do that, but they do it anyway, and then they come back with so much fish that it's busting their nets, which is crazy. So there's this encounter with a man named Jesus who helped them in their job, in their everyday life, and in this situation, and he follows up with saying this in verse 19. He says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Basically, Jesus takes this everyday situation they've been experiencing their whole life and says, you know what? You're doing this, but there's something more. There's something new, and I've got it for you. Fishing for people. Because Peter and Andrew, they understood fishing, and so they breathed fishing. That sounds funky. I don't know if I should say it like that. But they lived for fishing. So Jesus said, you do this now, but what if you followed me? What would your everyday life look like then? Why don't you let me show you? So he said, drop what you've been doing, change the way you've thought, your entire life, take this way of life and make it into a mission from God. Now that's pretty rad, I'd say. Everybody say, that's rad. Yeah, it is. Jesus tweaks fishing and says, this is so important. It's vital because this is not just going to be all about just bringing home the bacon or whatever fish they were trying to get, because you're not fishing for bacon. That would be weird. Anymore, because they were not doing that. There's something greater happening. You've met me, Jesus. And there's a shifting of importance to fish for people. And it's rad. But again, if we follow Jesus, if we've made that decision, this is a challenge. This is something that does confront us. So remember, Jesus asked them to leave their homes, their jobs, to follow him. And many of us, we don't feel that calling from him to leave our jobs and leave our homes. Not necessarily. Some of us in this room have. But in following Jesus, it should still be a challenge. We should hear him saying this to us, hey, I'm going to send you out to fish for people. And it's the most important thing that any of us can do as followers of Jesus. Our all day, our all week goal is to point people to Jesus. We can do this at home, in our neighborhood. We can do it at the rec center. We can do it on the soccer field. We can do it shopping for groceries, getting our hair cut and colored. Ladies, I'm not leaving you out here. We know. Getting coffee, having dinner, and yes, at our jobs, at our everyday vocation. If you've had an encounter with Jesus and you know he's saying, follow me, and you've said yes, but you haven't dropped the nets and gone to take a step out and fish for people, I have to ask, what are you waiting for? I know it sounds weird, fishing for people. And some people do this in a weird way, but there's unweird ways to do it. Remember, Jesus is using this particular metaphor for these two guys, because whatever you're doing in your everyday life, yeah, you don't fish, okay? But Jesus is saying, make my mission a part of your everyday life. And my hope is that today, when you walk out of here, you know that you are called into this. You may be a plumber, and you're called. You may be an architect, and you're called. You may be a teacher, or a rancher, or a student, or a stay-at-home parent, or you may be retired, but you are called. And now you're thinking, well, that's really easy for you to say up there, James, right? I mean, you spend your whole week, or one day a week, whatever you work, and your whole point is to work in Jesus's mission. You know, that's your vocation. You know, you don't understand. My job comes with so much stress. You don't even know, man. But here's the thing. I want you to know, I'll let you into a little secret working at the church. We have pressures too. We have stresses too. Maybe sometimes it can be coworkers, and maybe it's miscommunication, or maybe it's not being able to get something done by the time line that I'm setting, or meeting a deadline for somebody else. It's tough, I know. And so I need to figure out ways to blow off steam. I get it. And so I work out. That's one thing that I've found that helps. And then also, recently, since we started this series, I've figured out another way that I can blow off steam, and it's got something to do with a classic 80s film. You know what? They caught me on tape doing it. Check this out.
Mary, I'm going to need the building.
Good for you.
Doing that Footloose thing again, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Clean up when you're done.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had to do something with Footloose. Every time that's what it looks like. My poor wife, that's what it looks like at a wedding. Footloose comes on and that guy shows up. I don't know what to say. I burned a lot of calories that day, by the way. That was a long day. Oh man, it was insane. Okay. Here's the thing. We tend to think pastors are the only people called into what we call ministry. We tend to think that this only pertains to pastors, right? We think they're the ones that should be fishing for people. Pastors may be called into doing this every day, like part of their vocation, but we are all called to make a difference. And that, in what we're doing for God, makes a difference for Him. You don't have to be in the vocational ministry to drop your nets and answer the calling that Jesus has for you. So, can you see your everyday life as a mission field and realize that God has something for you to do in it? What you spend your day doing, whatever you do, spending your days doing, you should be fishing. And now I got a bunch of people that says, see that? Honey, pastor said, I get to go fishing. I'll start today. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying fishing for people. One place to start is recognizing where and when fishing can occur. We can get caught up on thinking that it has to only happen in this way. And we compartmentalize the different interests we have in our lives, okay? You know, we have our job and we have our family, and a lot of times they get mixed together, but for the most part, we want to keep those separate. We have our hobbies, that's definitely separate from everything. We have our church, and that's where really Jesus is, right? Jesus stays there. We don't have to worry about Him out of there. We have our activities, and we have other categories we'll call miscellaneous, or potpourri, as Alex Trebek would say, okay? So we have the miscellaneous categories, and we tend to just keep them all pretty separated for the most part. And we don't necessarily give anything over to the other. We don't have a crossover event like TV shows do, or they used to. We may see it a little different than this, but we may call it something to the effect of, I'll just name it the difference between something sacred or something secular. Okay? Maybe we don't call it that, but you may be thinking that a pastor's life, now that's more sacred, okay? God called him to do that. That's not me. I'm more secular. My job is secular. I don't have a holy job like the pastor. Well, your life is sacred. Your life matters. Jesus went to the cross for you the same way he went to the cross for me. He's calling you to fish the same way he's calling me to fish. Believe me when I say this, your life is sacred to Jesus. And he's saying, follow me because you matter that much to him. But that may be hard for a lot of us. What that means is we have to let Jesus become the Lord of all of the details in our lives. He's not saying, keep me on the side until you're needed in that particular compartment. Then I'll just jump into that one. If we truly are following Jesus, he is the Lord over all of the details in our lives. He cares about all of the politics and policies and budgets and bank accounts and houses and cars and words and thoughts and even the attitudes and actions that we have in our lives. So, are you ready to follow a God who cares that deeply about all of the details in your life? Last week, Pastor Mark reminded us that Jesus tells us, do not be anxious about your life. And he talked specifically about a verse out of Romans, something that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12, and I've had it on my mind all week, so we're going to go back to Romans 12, 1 today. And it says this, he says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now, that tells us everything we need to know about this mission. How do we do this? We offer up our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. Okay, but I also found a great paraphrase that really, really tells us about our particular situation that we're talking about today. Check this out. So here's what I want you to do out of Romans. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That may bring it into focus a little bit for us. In all of those details that Jesus cares about in our everyday life, are we ready to drop our nets and fish for people? Because every follower of Jesus is a fisher of people. Every follower of Jesus is a fisher of men. Now, if we're going to do this, I'm not just going to say, go get them. No. Again, don't be weird, okay? We're going to talk about three truths for my everyday life that I want to share with you. And the first one is this: my everyday life is from God. This is going to give you a lot of foundation when we do this. My everyday life is from God. Do you realize that it is a gift every single day that you wake up? It's a gift from God. It's a blessing. And I know I say that, and then you're thinking, but tomorrow's Monday. I know, Mondays, right? Look, for these brothers that Jesus walked up on, fishing was their vocation. And just like any vocation, I would bet they had long days. They had rough mornings. They were probably up at the crack of dawn to do the fishing. I mean, they didn't have the 5-day work week that we experience now, or the 4-day work week that everybody wants to have, it seems like, that I'm hearing about. In fact, they likely worked every day of the week. But I would bet that they had something like Mondays, right? I mean, they had to have, where they woke up, and it was like the equivalent of a Monday, and they're like, oh no, I have to go to work today, and I'm just not feeling my best. Let me ask you this, Is there anybody in here who are good or great Monday people? I just want to see. Is there anybody? Anybody? Any good ones? Okay. I see some hands. Okay. All right, everybody. See, they didn't raise them high, but I've got them picked out. We're going to get them. We're going to get them afterwards. Just kidding. Don't do that. We love you guys because you're the ones that carry us a lot of times on Monday, right? Thank you. Mondays are tough, but our lives, even Mondays, are given to us from God. This is, of course, going back to the creation of the world. When God created the world, one image I'd love to think about is at the very beginning when man was being created by God and this beginning of life, God is creating the world and he's doing these amazing things. And in Genesis 2, we read this, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. I mean, that's just like, how cool is that? He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. I've heard it described as this, like it was as if God was booting up a computer. I mean, visually think about that. And not just is he booting it up. I mean, think about, do you ever buy something and you can't wait to plug it in and you get it started and you push the power button and you see it just come to life? That was God in that moment. How cool is that? He created that thing. He made the computer. He put all the pieces together, and then he goes to push the power button, and it came to life. I mean, that is just so cool to think about. He boots us up. Do you feel like you have the breath of life in you, even on Mondays? Because you do. God gave him a job to do, create and cultivate our everyday life. Is from God. If we walk outside of this truth, we start shaking around. We start questioning, why are we here? What are we doing? What's the purpose of this whole thing? What are we supposed to be focusing on? Fishing? Why are we fishing? It doesn't make any sense. Your life is from God. Know that truth today. We're fishing because the second truth also matters. The second truth is this: my everyday life is for God. Our everyday life is from God. Our everyday life is for God. Maybe we look around and try to please people with our life. I'm so guilty of that. I just want everybody to be happy. I walk around. I want to make sure everybody's taken care of. Can I tell you something? Your boss didn't give you your day. He didn't give you your life. Someone may have given you a job, your career. You might have gotten to know somebody that cut you a break, but now, how are you going to use that for what God wants you to do? Your everyday life isn't for anyone else, and that's why Paul writes this in Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Now listen, please do not take this verse and shove it in your supervisor's face, or show it to your family, or any authority that you have in your vocation. It's not a way for you to stop listening and Fleetwood Mac the situation and go your own way. Yeah? I think that song came out in the 70s. Okay. Paul really was writing this to a church that had gotten out of sync, though. Their priorities were out of whack. He shows us that Jesus has to be the priority of our everyday lives. That's what he's reminding us with this. In fact, in a letter to Titus, Paul writes also, he says, try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. See, your attitude will increase your influence. And believe me, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have coworkers and friends and even strangers and have a conversation with them about this crisis that they're going through. They don't know what hope is. But you have to have the conversation. Maybe they came into work and they were hungover. Maybe they're in the midst of a divorce. or financial stress or health struggles. And that's an opportunity for ministry. That's an opportunity to show them Jesus. Ask questions. They may, don't just say they've got problems and not ask them. Ask questions. They may be having a struggle of faith that's lying underneath that crisis, waiting to hear about hope. So invite them to meet up with a life group. Invite them to have a cup of coffee. Ask them if they want to join you and your family right here on Sunday. At the very least, share a podcast from Pastor Mark or Pastor Jamie's messages. They're found anywhere you get your podcasts from, and they're really easy to share. When you do something like that, it's like saying, hey, my faith is active. It's a part of my life, and I want you to know about it too. God can use it in an amazing way. People react to that moment. It's not weird. It's just offering some help. That activity, and they start drawing closer to Jesus. That activity should also reflect the third and final truth that I've got for you today. For our everyday lives, my everyday life makes sense with God. There's a common misconception that church is what happens inside this building. And what actually needs to happen is church needs to leave the building. Remember that the details that Jesus wants to be involved in, it's not limited to this building. It's expanded to all. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, and you, church, are God's building. You are God's building. And start saying that every day. What I do is part of my ministry that God has called me to do. It's part of my calling. I'm fishing for people in every detail of my everyday life. It's what I'm supposed to do. Don't take this the wrong way, but God doesn't want us all to quit our jobs and start working at a church. I mean, I'd like to see Pastor Mark figure out that budget. We're called to be sent out and fish wherever and whenever we are. And I'm so excited that we have people attending online, because at Countryside Anywhere, this is so particularly important for you guys who watch from afar but attend close by. You are such an important part of Countryside, and you're part of God's mission, and you need to fish where you are. What if you went out in your Countryside t-shirt more often? I know what you're saying. What t-shirt? We got them out there. Yes, we've got more sizes coming and more colors. They're all coming on their way. But would you take your mug to work with you? Would you take it to the next family gathering to create a conversation? That could encourage them to ask you about your faith. God wants you to make a difference in your surrounding. God wants you to make a difference in your neighborhood. God wants you to make a difference in your school and in your company. And that doesn't mean you have to quit. Embrace where God has you and say, God, you have me here for this reason. I need to be fishing for people. People will notice and they'll say, what's different about that guy? Why does she act that way? And then when they ask, be prepared to share Jesus with them. Be prepared. 1 Peter 3:15. This is one of my favorite pieces of advice as a Christ follower. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the what? That you what? You have this hope. But do this with gentleness and respect. Don't do it weird. I added that last part. Don't do it weird. Here's the thing. You want to know what I always think back to when I need to remember why Jesus, you know, that Jesus calls me to fish, why Jesus calls me to fish? I look back on the years that I spent in my teens and 20s just walking around, not knowing who Jesus is, just thinking that I've got it all figured out, and there's no God that really can control anything, and that's certainly not my life. I don't have to do anything with that. And I think about the people who actually I would come in contact with who knew Jesus, and I would say, hey, tell me about Jesus. And they were eager, they were excited. Here's what he did for me. Here's what he is doing for the world, and here's what he can do for you. And it was something that set my faith up. They understood what it was, what it meant to fish. They understood what it meant to fish for people. And they got the mission, I will send you out to fish for people. They knew it. And so this group of people knew how crucial it was, what was at stake. And here's the truth. What was at stake? My eternity. My eternity was at stake, and they felt the weight of that. They knew that it mattered to have that conversation. But what I really think about the people who I would ask about Jesus and how he was a part of their everyday life, and they would reflect on it and they would say very little, maybe a tiny response, maybe nothing at all. But you follow Jesus, right? But there would be nothing. And what this did for me, and it can happen for so many other people if we are not prepared, church, is that it didn't give me a glimpse of the real Jesus who willfully went to the cross and paid the ultimate sacrifice so that I could be free of my sins. Instead, it gave me a picture of this half-hearted Christianity, lukewarm, really, that indicated God wasn't as great as I had hoped he would be. Because I think deep down, people walk around and they want God to be at the center, but they just don't know how to see it. They want to have that hope. And you're probably sitting there and you might be thinking, James, you're getting a little dramatic here. Well, I mean, drama's my thing, so I'm sorry. I love drama. But for real, more importantly, we have to know the stakes. We have to know the stakes. Is it risky to spend a little time with somebody in need? Is it risky to go fishing? Is it risky to not spend any time with them at all and they lose eternity? Do you know that the average church has about 2% of the people who actually invite someone to come to church with them? 2%. I'm praying for Countryside that it will be 100% at some point that I'm still here. That people will say, I want to invite someone. I want to share Jesus with that person. What did the stats say about how people respond? Well, about 70% respond positively. They will attend at least one service. They will check it out. But 70% of 2% is not great. It's still not great. And let's face it, you will invite somebody and they'll finally come to church, and guess what we'll be talking about? Money, right? It's always. It's like I brought my mom today. Oh, we're talking about money. That's what she, great. And then you have to say, oh, we never talk about money. Sorry. Let's go back to this encounter with Jesus, an encounter I want everyone to have with him. Now listen, okay, now just travel with me for a minute. Close your eyes, if you will, and picture yourself at work, or you're at the coffee shop, or you're in the grocery store. You're doing your everyday thing. You could be doing, you know, just anything around town or just in your home, and Jesus walks up next to your counter or your desk, and he knocks on your door, and he says this to you. He says, follow me. And I will send you out to save the world. What's your response? These two brothers, going back to Matthew 4, 18 and 19, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. What's their response? Matthew 4:20. At once, they left their nets followed him. Like, I picture it really dramatic. Again, I'm pretty dramatic. I picture this dramatic moment with some big movie score. That isn't always how it works out, guys. Dropping your nets, it's a big deal. But sometimes it's just dropping your nets and going where you're working, where you're at in your everyday life, just saying, hey, do you know Jesus? It sounds like you're having a tough time. Can I help you? I believe that God has a ministry for you wherever you spend your time, whether you're in a workplace or your home or the gym or the park. You're called. I believe that you're called. What hangs us up is that we don't believe we're called. You're called to make a difference in your marketplace. You're called to make a difference in your community and with your family. And you're called to make a difference in your school. You're called to make a difference in your neighborhood. So are you ready to say, this is my ministry? This is how I will help people. This is my everyday life. I'm going to share Jesus with them. God has a ministry in the school, in your neighborhood, at your job. God has wired you in the way that he's wired because he wants to make a difference where you are. Your ministry is where he has you right now, and he may call you out somewhere else, somewhere far from here, somewhere close to here, but today, right now, it's right here. And it's time to drop your nets and follow. One big thing that I would do is go to your pastors. Go to Christian mentors and say, hey, equip me. Because I want to start a Bible study with my coworkers, but I don't know how to do that. What's the conversation I can have? Equip me. I'm dealing with this difficult person at work, struggling with this relationship. How do I navigate that? Equip me. How do I minister to somebody who's hurting from a divorce right now? And show them the hope that Christ has for them. Equip me. Help me be able to do ministry over there or help people over here to make a difference. Do you understand where we're equipping you? We want to equip you to do ministry that God placed you in. Most people interact with other people outside of our home about 40 to 60 hours a week. Now, I know with COVID, a lot of people say, come on, 40 to 60 hours sounds right, I think. We interact with other people, and the people that you see, many of them, they might not know anything about who Jesus is. And most of us, it sounds like, we won't invite them to find out. And I pray that we'll go outside of that, but not just invite them to church. Maybe that's not it. Maybe it's just having a conversation on a consistent basis with them to find out what's going on in their lives so then we can have a conversation about how Jesus is the hope. You have this opportunity to make a difference wherever you are, but you have to decide, will you drop the nets and follow him? Are you still on the shore holding them? Just holding them. It's an easy answer today. And here's the thing, it's so simple, right? I mean, we're attending online on Countryside Anywhere. We're here in the building. We're just, yes. I say, yes, I will drop the nets. I will follow him. So easy to do. But here's the thing. What about Monday through Saturday? What happens tomorrow? Where are you in your everyday life? Is the only place that we will fish for people, is the mission only this church building? Will we leave the mission here when we go to our cars? Will we keep it stay hidden when we turn off our computers after watching the service? Because there are people that we encounter on a daily basis, our coworkers, our bosses, our neighbors, our barbers, our families, our cashiers, the servers. How do we approach them? With love and truth. And we don't have to be weird about it. Look, we want to make a difference. My hope is that when we leave here today, our neighborhoods are better because of what we're doing. My hope is that our families are better because of how we're leading them. The department that we work in and work at our jobs is a different place positively because we are there. Because in all these situations, we are elevating in the name of Jesus, and you're living your everyday life from God, for God, with God, and we're fishing. So let me leave you with this. The world was changed forever by a few local fishermen who had an encounter with Jesus. Now, as I say this, this is not, I would hardly call this the qualified world-changing task force that anybody here would probably choose. We would look at these resumes and say, let's go on to the next group of interviews, please. But that's the beauty of God's design for his people. We're just ordinary people in our everyday lives, but we've experienced an extraordinary life change because of a Savior who loves us deeply. And that is worth talking about. That's worth sharing every day in our lives. It's a calling. And if you take this calling on, and I hope you do, I hope tomorrow is a new day, and I hope you experience this. It's what you're called to do, and realize that God wants you to be in this world making a huge difference, and you have been sent out to fish for people. Will you pray with me, if you will? Father, it's amazing. I'm surrounded by a bunch of people now that I'm praying that are eager to go fishing. And as we're praying right now, we know that there are different vocations that you have called us to. There's different day-to-day situations. Our everyday lives are truly different. But you've called us to something. And I pray right now that our church would grab hold of that wherever they are, that they're ready to make a difference, that we were made to lift up the name of Jesus, and we experience that in our world. I pray right now, Father, that we move the sphere, that we don't just take this as a thing we do on the side, but we prioritize you, Jesus. Help us point everything towards God and not anything else. And Father, for those who are here and maybe they're experiencing this for the first time, they don't know who Jesus is and they just want to know a little bit more, but they don't know. I was there. And they've heard. And there's a prayer that you can pray, and if you need hope today, I want you to pray with me and accept this gift of grace, because this is where hope begins. And you just pray, Jesus, please come into my life. I want to know more about you. I know about all the stuff, all the junk in my life, and I want to turn it over to you. I want to lay it at the foot of the cross that you were sacrificed on so that I can be free from these sins. Jesus, I'm sorry for that. Forgive me for those sins. And I want to live for you. So come into my life. And for the rest of us, for all of us today, God, I just pray that your mission is our mission. That we are ready to drop our nets and go after what you're calling us to do. And we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen.